Good evening. I see it's a big crowd. When you consider this day, we went to Israel in November for 2 weeks. We had a very, very good time. I heard from others in the past, went to Israel and talk about. I thought in my heart at least, big deal. It is big deal. It's changed me in a way. Before I go to bed, I usually read a book. Sometime occasionally see some Indian comedy or something. You can ask my wife. Last, after I came back, most of the time I Google what's happening in Israel. How is Bethlehem? Looking at a lot of things. Before I go there, I was thinking we are going to see the place where Lord, you know, lived, and which is all true. But when we went there, I never realized all the places in the Old Testament. As a young man, I studied 1st and 2nd Samuel, a lot of Old Testament books in Sunday school in detail. While the bus was going, oh, that's the valley where David and Goliath had fight. Over there is King Saul died. Things like that, which every small place, everything has importance. Personally to us, because we know this place very well. Now we are seeing it. I have some, many of the brethren asked me, please show some tapes, pictures. So I had a lot of pictures. I took like 900 some pictures and over 2 hour video myself. Then I made some pictures to show. I thought it may be 50 or 55, something like that. I give to the brother to put it in. He told me, James, there is 157 of them. So I went back, cut down, now about 100. So I will stop by time, and I will go very fast. I thought I will give, because some of the brethren asked me to give a report, I thought I will give that report. Then maybe last 10, 15 minutes, I will give another report from the scripture. Oh, it's already on. Okay, good. This is the Sinai Peninsula. We landed in Egypt, and from there we went to another town nearby Israel, Fly. Then from there, about 4 hour bus drive. This is what we saw on both sides of the road. While we went into Israel, this is Mary and Martha. Their house is underneath it. When we asked the guide, how do you know Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived there? They said they had a church in the 3rd century they built over the house. And in the next picture, that's the entrance of the house. This is beside the church. The church covered the whole area. And next to it, you can see an area closed down. You can look down and see about 15 or 18 feet deep. They said that was the level that time. All this during these years, they have earthquakes and destruction. It all filled up. So the house, when we go in, we have to go down. And this is the real house, they say. And next to it, in the same compound, there is a cave where they place his body in. Some way I messed up in the computer. I am not a computer person. That picture will come at the end. I will show you later. The thing you see there, like a cross, and that was, they have a olive oil chuck there. That's a technology they had in the olden days to turn it and press it. This is the entrance to the house from the other side. This is very near to it. That's where the mount where Lord with the disciples sat there in the last moment, Lord ascend to heaven. For the memory, this is also like 3rd century, because a lot of this goes back to 3rd century and 4th century. The Christians had a lot of power there. That's where they came in and built all this. But when the Muslims took over, they closed all that openings. And on one side, they put a small window, and you can look through if you give some money to these Muslim people sitting there. You give them money, then you can take a look. What you see is a big rock. This is the tree not far from there itself. They made the crown to put on the head of the Lord. It has a lot of big thrones on it. They said this tree itself is over 600-700 years old. They destroyed it. On the top you can see it's all burned up. But the tree refused to die. It come from the bottom again. Even some area way up in the big area they cut and drilled, they said it's still alive, the tree. This is, they built a church. Everywhere you can see churches there. This was on the way where the Lord, from there, that position, looked to the temple and cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." I think Luke chapter 23, he cried. That's from there. When he cried from there, this is the view he had. From there, you can see the Kidron Valley going way down. Then it's you have to go up around it. Go into the temple. You can see the golden dome over there, the rock of the dome, dome of the rock, right there. On the side where we're walking through the, they call Hosanna Boulevard, the Lord's triumphant entry, going on the top of the donkey, that's the way. On the side, on the Mount of Olive, all cemeteries, we asked them, what is this? They said, people, rich people from around the world, buying land to bury. You have to pay millions, they told me, a lot of money. So they believe when the Lord land in Mount of Olive, they will be the first one to get up. I thought it's a joke, but they said it's not. This is the same road, Hosanna Boulevard, going down. Garden of Gethsemane. You know, when we were, before, while we were there, I thought we are in like Christmas time in Disneyland. If you've been there, there is crowd of people every turn you make. There is no place you can stand and relax and see it. People crowd coming behind you and push you out. And this is Garden of Gethsemane. You can see that tree. I don't know how clear it is. They told us it's about that one tree, and few of the trees are there over 2,500 years old. First I thought, no, this must... But when you look closer, you can see the outside of the tree, the bark disintegrating. But inside you can see new branches coming. I look at it, you can see olives on it. It's only a miracle. I don't know how the 2,500-year-old trees. And not only here, we saw other places, few trees. They said it's so old. This is the eastern gate. This is the view from the Garden of Gethsemane. You look on the other side, in between the Kidron Valley there, then the other side of the... you can see the gate. That gate is the Eastern Gate, or we call Golden Gate. There is so much prophecy on that gate. That gate was closed in 1451 by the Ottoman Empire. They all were Muslims. They knew the scripture very well, and they purposely closed it. And there is prophecy in the scripture that it will be closed. What they did in front of it, they put some of their religious Muslim famous people, their burial places right in front of it. Nobody can reach that area now. It's all owned by the Muslim, and they have the burial places. You cannot touch that. They will make trouble. There was some movement going on in Israel. They wanted to open it, the Jews. But From the scripture we know, it will be open, I think in Jeremiah 44, I believe, it says that when the Lord comes, opposite to this place is the place where the Lord went to heaven. We saw that before. You look from there, you can see this gate. So the way the Lord went up, he is going to come, as in Acts chapter 1. So they believe the Lord will come and go through that door. That's the only time it will be opened. At the end of Garden of Gethsemane, there is a rock. You look in this, it's not very clear. All the way forward, on the floor, they have a glass cover and there is a rock. They say that's where the Lord sat and prayed in the garden. This is at the end of the garden. They built a huge church there. We were not able to go all the way in because of the crowd. This is another olive tree in the Garden of Gethsemane. We moved from there to the other side. I was so excited. I had goosebumps first time when I saw the wall. Because you learn about the wall and all the gates. And I asked them, can we go through some of the gates? He said, we may go through few, but we were able to go four of them. This is the Zion gate. This is the upper room, and they have a drawing, they have a picture of the disciples and the Lord in the middle. I don't know how clear it is. That's the real upper room. Not the real upper room. This, they told us that's the exact sample of the upper room. Three floors down is the real upper room, which we are not allowed to go unless we get special permit or something. This is Caiaphas' house. I mean, you cannot see the house. I took the picture from the house to the side. They believe this is the original steps that Lord, they took Lord after they arrest him, come through the top, all the way up and come to the Caiaphas' house. All the way at the corner of that wall, just behind it is the Garden of Eden. From there, this I took from the Caiaphas' house. It's about maybe 3 miles. That's where he came, and you can see the steps on the side. I don't know how clear it is. This is a dung gate. We are going there to see the wall. Same dung gate, a little more better picture. Once you get into the, get inside the city wall through the dung gate, on the right, you see the remnants of the David's, one of the palace. Same thing. This is the Western Wall. We took so many pictures. One thing I wanted to say is, you see that open door all the way to the left. One good thing is, other side of the wall, controlled by Palestinians, the Muslims. They control that because they have the dome and their Islamic temple and everything they took over. But underneath, through this, you can go all over that place. So you go 3 floors down underneath, you can see the cornerstone of the temple. Anytime there is movement, it comes in the news a couple of times. I watched in the last 2 months, they were afraid that Israel may go do something there. Though they have the Dome of the Rock and everything up, underneath is Israel have the control. It's side of their mosque. They built a mosque right there next to it. Many times when I studied the scripture, the commentators say at one time near the temple for sacrifice, there will be about 600 to 1,000 priests. First I thought, no, it cannot be true. How many priests? That's a daily routine. So many priests there sacrificing animals because for the whole nation of Israel, everybody line up and coming one by one. So I was thinking, where is the room for all this? You can look at the floor. They said that's the original floor. It's big stones, I don't know how many acres it is. I didn't Google and find out. But it's so big. Thousands of people can be there at the same time. This is only one corner where the Israelite and where the Muslims build their mosque. That's a rock. That's a dome. Inside is the Moriah, the mound. It's a big rock, nothing else there. A big rock. They believe that's where Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice. So Muslims are controlling it. They don't allow us to go in. Even the whole place, they thought we may not be able to. Only 18 days before we went there, they opened up. Because they said a couple of months, they had some argument, they closed it. This is one of the, not Siloam, another pool where the sick people, you go there and get healed. Bethesda, that's it. When we ask, you can go down there, it's way down, and you have to go further in, like a tunnel, to see the pool. They still have water there. They told us about 17 levels of destruction you can see above it. Because it's fall off, then they again bring it up. So you have to go way down. It takes like 15, 20 minutes to go down to see it. It's a lion gate. This is the praetorium where they took Lord and Pilate questioned him before they judged him. We could not go inside because there was a service going on. They give to different people. Unless you get taken up appointment, you won't be able to go and see it. This is just from another side. This is where they tied up and beaten him and give the cross to carry him. They have several places, 12 places they marked as certain events happen. Lord fall down a few places. The Via Dolorosa starting from here. This is where they says the Cyrenian Simon was forced to carry the cross for the Lord. These are the streets. It's all business place now. We walk through all the way. Catholics believe this is where Christ was crucified, and our guide tour. We have to stand in line so long to get inside and watch all this. Oh, we said, no, he was crucified at Golgotha. Yeah, but he told in our ears, I'm not supposed to tell you this is fake. This is not really true. So this is another gate. I took the pictures of most of the gate. A couple of them was not able to see. This is the Garden of the Tomb. This is where our Lord was crucified, right in front of it. Right now, you can see some vehicles there. Right in front of it, right now it's a private bus stand. Right before it, that's where they believe that Christ was crucified. On that side is a highway to Damascus. And there was a road in the vertical, this way side also. And that's where most people that time and even this time travel. It's a busy, very busy place. One good thing I noticed that first time I heard somebody preaching was over there. There was some tour guides standing there to help you, each group. So I talked to this man, an old man. He was a British Air Force man, retired. He volunteered his time to come in as a tour guide. And he started preaching pure gospel. And I was so happy I videotaped part of it. And afterwards I talked to him. And he's preaching real Christ. He said, this is 21st or 22nd time I'm preaching the same day. He finished in 10, 15 minutes. But he's clearly giving the message to all kinds of group of people coming there. This is God. This is the tomb. Yep, you can see. It's much darker here. This is the inside picture. There is two areas there. Two bodies can be put. He is not here. He is risen. It was right at the side of the door. It's a Bible verse saying about Joseph Arimathea's land. There are several. They give chances. If you ask before, you can gather near the tomb. It's a huge garden. They give us place to stand and can have a small breaking of bread time. A lot of people doing it. We also did that. This is the place they later found out at the end of this garden. It's a huge place. I don't know how big it is, but they found out they had a olive press on the other side, and when they press the olive, the oil will come down through the rocks and come down. This is where they collect the oil at the end. They said this is from the same garden. They believe it's Joseph's. He was a very rich man. He was able to afford all this to make it. We left from there and on the way to Tel Aviv, or actually Joppa. This is Emmaus. You made the right turn, the bus stopped, we all get down. They had a 3rd century church which was completely destroyed by Turkey or Ottoman group, and they are trying to renovate and put a new church there. They believe that's where the conversation took place in Luke chapter 23 or 24. Our brother mentioned that this morning. Yeah, Emmaus. This is the house in, this is a big church there in Joppa where Peter stayed there in Acts chapter 9, I believe. They have a big church, and inside the church they have a beautiful drawing or picture of Peter being there. Now we went to Caesarea. This is bringing water from Haifa to all the way to Caesarea. They said this is built before Lord's time, so Lord was living, this was there. This is Elijah. They put a big statue there where he killed all the prophets of Baal. This is a very, very important place. From there, you look down, you can see several places. All the way to the left, Mount Tabor. I mean, it's not very clear. Tabor, then you can see Gilboa, Mount Carmel, all those all the way in the far. You can see all of them. On this side, the Jezreel, the plain of Jezreel, and the Megiddo. They say, the guy told us, that one spot, maybe it's towards your right, way down. More bloodshed in that place than any other part of the world. He said 27 or so major wars happened. And Israel right now produced more vegetables there than any other time. And the guy told us maybe it is because too much blood there. There is a highway there. They said a lot of it can go all through Jordan and many other places. In the olden days, that's one of the major highways in the world. Yep, this is a little more. This is one of the caves nearby where Elijah hide. Again, another olive tree, they said, over 1,000 years old. That's a sunrise in Galilee. Such a beautiful place. The night before, I stayed in the hotel looking through the Galilee. I couldn't sleep almost. Whole night, I was thinking about John chapter 20 and 21, where Lord dealt with his disciples around Galilee. Sun just coming up. They told us 6:12,
the sun will rise. So I was there before 6 o'clock.
This is where the Lord went up to the mountain and start teaching and preaching to the crowd, all who thirst, come to me. All the way far you can see the mountain. It's a kind of a small hill where the 5,000 were fed. This is that area, the one I showed just before. They said that area was Lord talked to Peter to feed the sheep. Galilee again. That's the church they had right next to it. This is Nazareth, where Jesus lived. This is, they believe it's Peter's house. They put a huge concrete thing on the top of it to preserve it. Nazareth, the town of Nazareth, the whole place they discovered, and they, I don't know how many acres, the whole place is there. When I show the picture of Galilee, they told us about, from that 2,000 years ago, the water level from then and now, it's about 40 meters low now. I don't know how true that is, but the water level went so much down. This is the synagogue Lord occasionally goes in Nazareth. This is not the original. The original is really underneath it. In one area, you can go down and see the old stones and everything. We had a good ride in Galilee. This is a beautiful picture. I wish I could have a better picture of this. That's the way those towns, Capernaum, Tiberias, all those places look like. The Lord's ministry, about 70% of our Lord's ministry was around Galilee. That's the way it looked, they said. I believe that it is because it's so easy. The water is here. People are living. There is a street right around it. People live after it. River Jordan is so small now because it's coming from Syria and it's all diverted to different places. Before it get into Israel, they said they dump all the sewage into it because they are angry with them. But Israel have a modern technology to process and make it such a good water. This is the Mount, the Transfiguration Mount. They built a huge church. Inside they have the picture of Lord and Moses and Elijah. This is the well where the angel came, appeared to Mary. They have a picture on the wall. They have a huge church next to it. That church is the biggest of all. They cover huge area. There, that's Mary's house is underneath there. And several other worship places inside that building. Mary's birthplace is there, and everywhere they. To me, I did not pay much attention to it because it's all a lot of things are Catholic made, all that, and you have a box for giving money also. This was very interesting to me. I saw a few places. I took the picture of the shepherd guiding them, but it was not very good picture because the bus is going 70 miles. I took from the bus. They won't stop for pictures. This is Mount Nebo, where God took Moses all the way up. This is in Jordan. And this is way high. I don't know how we were talking. How did Moses climb all the way up? And this is a beautiful picture. That day when we went there, it was so cold because we were way up. It was so windy. We couldn't stand much outside. It was about 5:30 or 6 o'clock and getting dark. It's a memorial they made for Moses. They don't know where it is. Thank God some sunlight came in the valley. The valley, you can see some greenery there. That's where Israelites camped long time. And that whole area, this is Moab. And from there you can look and see the places. On the way back on the right side, you can see much clearer. It was dark, we couldn't see. There is a huge tree there. Right underneath, you can see some rocks there. They said that's where Moses hit the rock. And the water came down, and that water is still running, they say. That's where the water come down, and you can see all the greeneries nearby. Otherwise, there is no water, nothing. Everything is so dry and hot. This is a picture from the 4th century. It's mosaic. That's why it was a floor of a church or some place. They made the drawing, as far as they know that time, of the important place, Jerusalem, Bethlehem. And one of them was the sycamore tree also there in the drawing. They took that and put it on a wall. It's all mosaic, so it's still there. The names and all, they added it later. A hotel in Moab. This is Petra. It's a Red Sea. So beautiful. That's Dead Sea. Rose is floating on it. This is the Temptation Mount. This is only like a mile away from Jericho. The Temptation Mount. The sun was hitting this way, so we cannot take a beautiful picture. This is the valley. That's where Satan took Lord to test. They call it Temptation Mount. They have a 4th century monastery on the top of it. You can still see it. Still functioning, they told us. This is a sycamore tree. I Googled it and found out this is only like 900 years old. But the location is exactly same, they say. This is the cave they put Lazarus. I should have attached this before, but I was not able to. City of David, the Pool of Siloam. We were not able to go because of some problem there. This is the menorah, right in front of the Israeli parliament, given by British government. That's a synagogue Lord used to go, the one we saw before. That's it. Thank you, brother. I have 10 more minutes. I will try to stop on time. Some of the brethren told me about give a report. I was thinking about the report. Then I thought, I saw another report in the scripture which is related to the. So I thought I will look into it. Numbers chapter 30. Numbers chapter 13. I was planning to read from 17 all the way. We don't have time, so I don't want to read all that. I will say the background in few words. The book of Numbers covers the period between Israel's departure from Egypt and her arrival in Canaan. 1 year after they fled Egypt, they came to Sinai. Then from Sinai to Canaan, it took them 39 years. Exactly 1 year and 1 month, the book of Numbers starts. Then it has the history of 39 years. We can see the unbelief of the Israelites in this book. Chapter 11, we can see Miriam murmuring against Moses. That's chapter 11, it is murmuring.
against the food, about the food, because they were telling in Egypt, we have fish, we have melons, we have garlic, we have onions and everything. And now we only have this manna. So God was displeased and punished them. Again, chapter 12, Miriam murmured against Moses and Aaron. And Israelites has to stop because of that. Everybody knew, even though they murmur, maybe in private, maybe in few, but the whole world knew about it. And they were punished. Everybody has the punishment, staying there another week. Now in chapter 13, there is again disbelief. If you look into Moses is telling to Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 1, we can see that you go in and possess the land. I will go ahead of you and fight for you. Israelites, all this happened, still they cannot believe. Remember in Egypt, they just came a year ago. Is with their might they won from Egypt? Did they do anything to come through the dry land when the sea stood against like a wall? Again, here, they should have marched. But they disbelieve. They said, let's send some spies over there. They choose one from each tribe and they went. They went there, saw the land, came back and give a report. Verse 31. No, 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. Continue, we can see how they were explaining, no way we can go and get it. But Caleb, he said, let's go and get it. Again, disbelief. God already told them, you go and take it. So the majority rules, right? Let me read one more verse. My point is here in chapter 23. And now verse 23. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. That's a verse I want to explain a little bit. They went down and they want to bring some objective evidence. What they saw, they cannot bring the Amalekites. They bring the fruits, the land of milk and honey. They cut down a tree and two of them put it on their shoulder and put one cluster of grapes. I'm going with some imagination here. They are both walking towards, going forward, both of them. One in the back, one in the front. In the middle, the cluster is hanging down. The person going, walking in the back, he can only see the backside. And the person going in the forward, he has to look back and see it. I'm thinking, the person walking in the back is the Old Testament saints. They are looking forward and seeing what is happening. And we are the New Testament saints walking in forward, looking back through the scripture. That's what we were doing. Looking back and seeing. In connection with this, I want to read one verse. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. Verse 20. God is talking to Moses. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.
verse 23, "And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Moses is so close to God. This is what God told to Moses. But let us look at another verse in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which death so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus." Looking unto Jesus. So we saw the Old Testament saints, they are seeing from the back, looking forward and seeing things through the scriptures, in the scripture. We can see Christ in the scripture everywhere in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we are so close to Him. We can see Him face. We have everything revealed to us. From standing here, I like to say how, in few words, how the Old Testament saints can see Christ. Our brother mentioned few things this morning. Our Lord Himself, when they were going to Emmaus, told them from Moses onwards, all the prophets, He was rebuking Cleopas, telling him, "Oh fool, how you cannot remember these things?" In John chapter 5, again, I think John chapter 5, verse 39. "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." My time almost gone. I was thinking about mentioning few verses from Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. I will conclude in a couple more sentences. Chapter 1, verse 1 starts, "In the beginning of God." We know the word God is in plural, Elohim, not Eloha. When we come to chapter 2, we can see in chapter 2, verse 4, "Lord God." Lord Yahweh. That's the same Lord Yahweh we can see in Exodus chapter 6, as a Yahweh, as a Redeemer. All this showing Christ and His redemptive work. Chapter 3, there are a few things we can see. That 15, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." Our Lord bruised the head of Satan at Calvary. In the same chapter, verse 24, 22, we can see the garden of in the garden, because they ate the fruit, the man Adam and Eve was guilty. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." So what God did, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to
keep the way of the tree of life. There is no hope for man, no eternal life. There is a sword hanging. We see that in Psalms 22, verse 20, we read there. Let me read two more words. Psalms 22, verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword. It's a cry, messianic psalm. He was crying, deliver me from the sword. And when you look into Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, O sword, smite the shepherd. Let the sheep go away. And we can see our Lord, they slew our Lord. That sword fall on him. So we have the eternal life. Revelation chapter 2, we read, he will give the fruit of the tree of life for us to eat. So through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access, we have eternal life. The Old Testament saints, through the scripture, can see Christ and the salvation. The way I mentioned those two people carrying the testimony and walking. The only people Lord have, the Israelites. And here they are. In chapter 4, the last word, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In many other translation it says, call up, instead of call upon, worship upon the name of the Lord. A new era started. A descendant, Adam and Eve, their descendant, Abel, was killed. So they named the son Seth. Seth means settled or the appointed one. In the line of his descent, our Christ born. I already took a few minutes more, so I am stopping right here. That's not the way I thought of stopping. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for the time. Maybe we'll touch some other time. Let's pray. Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the time thou have given to us to spend from the word and the place while you are on earth, lived, able to see, to encourage each one of us. We thank thee for thy presence and blessings. Lord, help us to shoulder thy work as we heard this morning. When we stand before thee, Lord, help us to see as one of thy disciple who give his boat so that Lord can stand in it and teach the people around the shore. Or maybe that young man who gave that 5 loaves and 2 fish, he gave it up so the Lord can use it for his glory. Lord, help us to serve thee from the talents you have given to us. Help us to see before thee, giving to the Lord for his service. Once again, we thank thee for the time.
Thank thee for blessing each one of us. In Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.